and welcome to Matchday Matinee, the show where we rank and rate and review and try to cobble together every football movie ever. I'm your host for today, Adam, and we are here for the second ever Keepy Uppies, and here to dish out the awards with me are Raghav and Mark. How are you doing, guys?
Doing good.
Excited for the Keepy Uppy dose. Let's do this.
Yeah. I'm a little bit different. So we're not going to mess about. We'll just jump straight in. So first up, we have funniest character. I'm going to be honest. The only one I wrote down was Idris from Gold of the Dead, who was the absolute idiot one who didn't want to play because he was worried he was going to get injured. And he kind of fumbled his way through the entire movie. There's a few others. There's the characters in Shaolin Soccer that were pretty funny.
Yeah,
I'd argue that even Summer of 92 had a lot of funny moments.
Actually, yeah,
the ensemble of that movie was really funny.
Yeah, I would say Paul Barber, Jerry from One Night in Istanbul was funny. That Scout's Wit is pretty funny as well.
That was the guy with the dirty underwears.
Yes,
okay. He was a good part of that movie for sure. Yeah.
Okay, what was his name? Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry. The character's name is Jerry.
Okay. I just thought of another one whilst we were talking about Jerry. Oh, damn it. My head is completely... Which film? Oh, Summer of 92. Which was the idiot character with his girlfriend who was like, I'll be going to Real Madrid. And then he was like, actually, no.
Okay, while you're thinking of that, I'm going to throw in Motorcito from All the Freckles in the World. Little kid that would play in net.
Yeah, okay.
Was that John Jensen? No, that wasn't him, right? From Summer of 92?
Couldn't have been.
He had the perm. That's all I remember about him.
Let me actually look at my notes. I bet I won't find it. Maybe we'll just say the dude that argued with his girlfriend in the car.
Maybe that's good enough. There's Fleming Poulsen. Maybe it's him. I don't know.
A lot of Scandinavian names, and they all kind of blend together.
Yep.
Ones that are not getting nominated for this is the guy in My English Soccer Adventure who thought he was like David Brent from The Office and was not funny.
He dressed like Clough, but he acted like David Brent.
Yeah, with that movie, I don't think there's going to be much nominations for that movie apart from, you know, the worst categories, like worst of.
That's well, my meaning, personal but opinion, terrible. Anyways. Well, even Shaolin Soccer is supposed to be a soccer comedy, but it kind of all just fell flat for me.
I mean, so it did for me as well, but we rated it pretty high.
I know, which will come back to bite us later.
I think so. I've always maintained that I thought that movie was crap.
Okay, who are we going to go for in this one anyway?
I think Idris is a good shout, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going
to say. He's a lovable idiot. Yeah. Trying to buffoons his way through that film. Okay. Next up, and this one has a lot of categories, just a lot of nominations, so congrats to Idris from Goal of the Dead. But next up, we have Best Cameo. There's a whole bunch to pick from, mostly because Goal 2 we reviewed this year. So who do you want to pick from the Goal 2 repertoire? I couldn't think of many others. Arsene Wenger gets a mention in My English Soccer Adventure because he's reading that book about past. He's reading his autobiography about Pasta. We made it a season without Pelé appearing?
How? I was going to say, there was not a Pelé appeared on the cover of a book in My English Soccer Adventure, he himself didn't show up in anything. Shocking. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything. There's no cameos in United, none in When Saturday Comes, none in The Keeper.
So who do we have in Goal 2? Just about players, that's right?
A hell of a list.
Hey, man, does it have to be a player, or can it just be an actor as well?
That it could be an actor. If someone's appearing as themselves, sure.
Well, not as himself, but I thought Nick Cannon's cameo was hilarious, because I don't think that guy knows how to play soccer at all in real life.
Oh, that's right. He was the main antagonist in Goal 2, right?
Goal 2.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
So I'll whip off the list of cameo appearances. David Beckham, Ronaldo, Sergio Ramos, Roberto Carlos, Ronaldinho, Robinho, Zidane, Ivan Higuain.
I got an answer for you.
Thomas Gravesen, Charles Puyol, Samuel Eto'o, Iker Casillas, Thierry Henry, Guti, Jens Lehmann, Cesc Fabregas, Raul Bravo, Robert Perez, Arsene Wenger, Freddie Lundberg, Roberto Soldado, Vincent Rodriguez, Lionel Messi, Victor Valdez, Fiorentina Perez, Steve McManaman, Janinho, Mama Huber, Diarra, Diogo Lopez, Thiago, Milan Baroš, and Stefano Farina.
So I'll give you two that I thought were funny from goal two. The first one is when Thomas Gravesen's in the elevator behind Santiago Munoz and he pulls off his towel and pushes him into the lobby. That was a funny cameo. And I think secondly, it's when Iker Casillas is in the pool with Santiago and he grabs his phone and he's talking all sorts of crap to Jordana, I think her name is.
In the hot tub, no less.
In the hot tub, yeah.
Casillas in the hot tub for me. Because he actually does a bit of acting too, which is surprising.
Yeah,
the only other one out of them really acts is, it's a weird, Steve McManaman's in like so many scenes and then he gives a tiny bit of tactical advice or something. But I think he's more like a stage direction than him getting any lines. So yeah, so we'll go with Casillas. Hot tub scene, best cameo, congrats.
Well earned.
Hot tub scene, just put that in. Okay, next up we have weirdest soccer moves.
Shaolin Soccer.
I just wrote, got to be something from Shaolin Soccer. Yeah,
it has to be, right?
You could also nominate Captain Tsubasa, even though it wasn't live action. There's a lot of weird Dragon Ball type stuff in there. You also had Goal of the Dead. I think he was literally killing zombies at one point with the soccer.
Yep.
How did that movie end again? Wasn't there like an atomic soccer kick or something?
Something like that.
Shaolin Soccer ends like that, right?
The guy kicks it so hard that it burns the guy's hands or something?
Yes. Yeah. And then they all come in. It's like all dusty, right? And they all come around and like, holy shit, the ball crossed the line. Or is that Nah, that's Shaolin Soccer.
I think it's got to be Shaolin Soccer. I mean,
so many weird soccer moves in there.
So many weird. Is there a particular one that you remember?
It's a guy that sticks it to his chest and just runs. No, it's like two abs, isn't it?
That was one. Yeah.
Iron chest or something like that.
Yeah. They all had weird iron chest, yeah.
So yeah. All right, weirdest soccer moves. Congrats to Shaolin Soccer for so many bizarre ones.
Do you guys remember any that tried to be good, but ended, like, you know what I mean? Tried to make them realistic, but just ended up being terrible.
See, usually those are the funnier ones.
Penalty had a bunch of stupid ones, right?
A penalty just had this weird, like, bad football scenes, but bad as in it just looked like they were just going really slow, just like, please, we need you to just pass the ball for this scene, please. Yeah. And they're like, yep, got it, nailed it, good job, okay, keep going.
I think it goes to Charles. Yeah.
Next up we have the character you'd most want to be beside in an apocalypse. I said it's got to be someone from Gold of the Dead. I picked Sam Laurie, the main character. Unless you guys can think of anybody else, Shaolin Soccer guys might be useful for their powers.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone else.
I mean, seeing as how Goal of the Dead is about zombies and there could very well be an apocalypse. Yeah.
Literally, I think Sam Laurie. Has an apocalypse,
I mean,
all right. Congrats, Sam Laurie.
Yeah.
Okay. Most believable to be an actual footballer. So actors pretending to be footballers. So we've got Kuno Becker. He's got chops pretending to be a footballer already. I wrote the extra playing Sean Bean, not Sean Bean himself, because there's a few times in that film where it clearly cut to somebody else playing as him, who, even though he filmed a lot of those scenes, but I thought the extra playing him might be better.
What about
92 was interesting because they kind of switched a lot.
Yeah. I'd say David Cross, who played Red Troutman in The Keeper.
When you think how dodgy Stallone looked as a goalkeeper, Cross actually looked good.
Yeah.
And did a good job of that. The way he's playing in the final and you see him constantly falling when he's broken his neck, actually, was still pretty convincing making all those saves.
Yeah, it got a bit ridiculous where he was like clearly in pain, but he was still getting up for every single shot and stuff. What about Jack O'Connell as Bobby Charlton?
Ooh, that's a good shout. Mm-hmm. That's a good show.
Yeah.
United.
You didn't see a whole bunch, but enough.
Yeah.
There was training and stuff.
Mostly training scenes, yeah.
Yeah, and then that scene outside the way he's kicking it against the wall.
Yeah.
I think David Cross to come off and look like an actual competent goalkeeper for me.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he can catch a ball. I'm going to say that one.
Bert Trautman
/ David Cross. Okay. Next one. Worst accent. I couldn't think of anything for this. Maybe there weren't any bad accents this season. This one we originally had for United Passions, where we argued the virtues of so many bad accents. I'm not too sure for this one.
Well, penalty? Was there any like bad accent? Oh, but that was foreign language.
That's a foreign language.
And just, I don't even remember if it was in Hindi.
I can't remember. There was no bad accents this year. We may have to forego this.
We'll find one. Come on, goal two. Somebody's got to have a bad accent in goal two.
Well, Gavinho, because he's playing a Brit, right?
You know what? He actually does have a really bad accent. It's that, you know how it is. It's like that very posh style accent that he tries to put on.
Because he's supposed to be American?
I think he is American. Evan Harris.
Santiago's like best friend.
Yeah.
Isn't he American doing an English accent?
He is, yeah. Alessandro Nivola. He's from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Give it to him then.
All right.
His accent's all over the place. Okay, best soundtrack. Well done, Gavin, for having the worst accent. Best soundtrack, I actually put goal two because it has an awesome soundtrack.
Dude, I have to say One Night in Istanbul. Just for the Fields of Anfield Road, You'll Never Walk Alone, just the songs that they had. It's just so good.
I will say, actually, Goal 2 loses points for have when they go to Japan, and it has, Turning Japanese by the Vapors. It's like, it loses points for having.
Remind me of some of the Goal 2 songs, because I remember like Kasabian from...
So it has like Morning Glory Oasis.
That was all part two?
Yeah, that was part two. It has Body Rockers, I Like the Way You Move. Nothing by A, Feeling a Moment by Feeder, which is a song I have a personal connection with because he played that when Pompey lifted the FA Cup. Mm-hmm.
What about My English Soccer Adventure, that song they danced to at the very end of the movie?
To be fair, if you wanted to know the song that stuck in my head the longest, it would be that one, because for like three episodes after we did that, I was still humming it every time we came to record.
And what was it called? Is this really weird?
It's called Misty
Psychedelic Band, right? Misty's Psychedelic Adventures. Misty's Big Adventure.
Yeah, Misty's Big Adventure is the band, yeah. And that song is called like The Story That Wasn't Told or something.
Yeah, I'm giving it to that.
What are you giving it to?
My English Soccer Adventure, that like 5-minute scene at the end of it.
I'm giving it to One Night in Istanbul. I mean, that's just me. That's just biased me talking, as you can see back here.
I'm actually going to say, though, to be fair, if you were talking about a soundtrack that had a connection to the subject material, think about last season, how we talked up Ultras and that soundtrack and like the club like soundtrack and linking it to the era
from Napoli and everything.
Napoli and everything. Yeah. I'm going to say One Night in Istanbul can take that one. Screw goal two.
All right. It's one in the bag. We need this kind of conviction on Sunday when we play Mark's team there.
Sunday ends.
Sorry?
When is the FA Cup match?
That's on the 24th, 3rd or 4th. Most likely going to be on the 24th because I think Liverpool play on Thursday against Burnley.
Yeah. Okay, next up we have Best Dad. So I put Jack Fryer, who is Margaret's dad, in The Keeper because she kind of completely accepts Bert Trautman. He doesn't think he's trying to take advantage of his daughter or anything, accepts him into his home, and then he's more than happy when they get married and stuff. I don't think there's any other contender here, really.
What about from One Night in Istanbul? The dad who goes through jokes. Yeah, he goes through everything just to make that connection with his son, right? To bring him to the Champions League final.
This is a very good point.
But is that as life-affirming and like in this time of unrest, as a Englishman who took a German into his own home and let her marry his daughter. Like, let's think of the context of where we're recording this episode, not to get too deep. Sends a beautiful message.
If he can forgive a German. From an endearment perspective and just like a good dad figure, I would give it to the keeper as well.
Okay. I'm just giving you guys options.
No, this is a good option because I would have gone for one. I want to go for one in Istanbul, but I've got to be unbiased.
Okay. Congrats then to Jack Fryer. Right. Worst dad. I picked Joe Muir from When Saturday Comes. Oof. And then Sam Laurie from Goal of the Dead because he didn't even know he was a dad and tried to pretend he wasn't. There was also the...
I was going to say Santi, but it was a surprise little brother, not a son, right?
Yeah. Like a stepbrother. The only other one I could think of was the dad, like the My English Soccer Adventure main coach guy. Like he was just a lame dad. He wasn't a bad dad.
No, it's got to be When Saturday Comes. That guy was a piece of trash.
Yeah. So just to recap, he sold Jimmy's kid brother's football program collection. He spent all his money down the pub. He's the only character you kind of had no sympathy for when things took a tragic turn, when the little brother died in the mines. You kind of didn't care. Like, you cared about Jimmy and mum and everything, but not him. So well done, Joe Muir, you piece of shit.
We didn't even bring up the father in Summer of 92 for best dad contention.
Oh, like...
keeper, right? What was his name? It was like Schmeichel.
Richard Møller Nielsen, like the coach. The main guy.
You could say what? Peter Schmeichel. Oh,
no, you're right. Kim Vilfort. Yeah. Oh, Vilfort. The sick daughter, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Who is, we will find later, at Best Actor.
I mean, you could also say Peter Schmeichel. He raised his child to be a Premier League superstar goalkeeper, so... There's that.
Your life aspects into it.
It all ties in.
So Kim Vilfort is a good call for best dad. If we want,
it's okay. We've already awarded it.
We'll put him in there as a good runner-up. I'll just make a note of him just in case. Okay. Next one. This was another one that was made in honor of United Passions. It is biggest propaganda film.
My English Soccer
Adventure. I put My English Soccer Adventure because it managed to convince you to want to travel to that part of the world. And we had people on Twitter saying, what the fuck are you guys on about? It's a shithole here. Don't ever come.
This is New Haven, right?
New Haven, yeah. And we've posted some nice pictures. And then somebody wrote, like, if you like visiting the tip, which is like the dump, he's like, yeah, sure, it's great in New Haven.
The beauty of Twitter.
So, yeah. I think that one has to win it because it convinced me that it was a lovely English place.
I'm going to throw Goal 2 in there. Funded by Adidas. Car was good, like,
shout. Good shout.
And there's a vehicle for like Real Madrid and hey, look how great we are. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. And I've been sharing on our Twitter the making ofs, like a lot of making ofs for the films we've covered. And like, if you read some of the Goal ones, it was shopped as like a promotional piece for those leagues. Like, it was actually supposed to be Liverpool originally, the first one.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And when the producer showed up, they kicked him out.
Yeah, because Liverpool doesn't stand for stuff like that.
Yeah, so they kicked him out, and then actually Man United called him up and like, hey, we love it. Let us do it on our club. And he said he would rather throw the movie in the trash. Yeah. So he said he'd rather throw the movie in the trash than make it with Man United. And then Newcastle called him up. Adidas was ready on board with it. So the synergy worked perfectly. And then they funded it. What's his name? Sepp Blatter actually started like greasing some palms to have it made and stuff like that. And
you're convincing me of Goal too, to be completely honest with you. Now that I look at it, just the product placement of Adidas and then
everything.
Real Madrid angle. And then,
Okay.
Yeah.
Congrats, Goal too. You take United Passions crown. Funny how FIFA are involved in both of them, but never mind. Okay. We have got Should Never Have Been Made Award. So this is for the film that we think should never have been made.
My English Soccer Adventure, 100% of the time.
But
what?
It was a community project, right? And like they were trying to put New Haven on the map. They did kind of succeed. Should it have I've never seen been a lot made?
Of projects over the years, and some of them are really good. This
That's
one is
also
not.
True.
Like, and it was made as a web series too, right? Like you can tell every 5 minutes it cuts to black because they've ended that episode. And then they put it all together as like nobody was meant to consume this in one sitting. It's that terrible. So in like a little 5 minute chunks as like a promo vehicle for this little town.
It's which reaffirms the point that it should never have been made and should have been kept the web series.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Point taken. Congrats, My English Soccer Adventure. Okay. This is similar to Best Cameo, which maybe it could have the same winner. Best Performance by an Actual Footballer. So we can give it to Casillas again if we want to for his hot tub scene. I think...
Do you, by any chance, mean by like football skills by an actual footballer, or
is it? Well, I don't know what we gave this to last time.
Well, season one had like Ozzy Ardiles, Pele, and United.
That was it. Yeah, actual moves, right? Because that was it. We talked about Ozzy Ardiles flicking victory, right? Yes. Okay, so best football performance by an actual footballer. Kind of in an acting role, but then. Because remember we cut out, now you're talking about this. This is where you said Kevin Keegan when he hulked last season, where he ripped off his shirt and started fighting.
Go ahead.
And we kind of ruled out, we talked about this was more actual footballers pulling off skills in a film, but there's not that many.
So are we actually talking about like actual things, like football? Because I'm going to go with the Steven Gerrard goal in 1-9 Istanbul. That's what I would go with. That was just such an iconic goal to bring them back.
A highlight on TV, those.
Yeah.
No football.
I can't think of many actual, like, made for the movie scenes where, because all of Goal 2s are like recreations and then he's like put into the game. So all those goals are actual goals. Like Thierry Henry scores 2 goals, right? And they're actual goals from the Champions League.
True.
Maybe you give it to Gerrard. Well done. Maybe. Can't think of any others.
No, there isn't.
Off topic, Thierry Henry in that Entourage series. You're excited about that, Rugev?
Oh, yes.
Entourage.
My favorite shows of all time.
I was never in Entourage.
Is he the first full-time football manager to also be like starring in a TV production at the same time? Like drama TV.
Yeah, like a scripted series has got to be, right?
What I think happened is that he was first, like one of the first people to know that the Impact were changing their name to Club de Foot de Montreal or whatever the hell it is. And he was like, whatever. And he was like, you know what, man, I'm getting out of here and making a TV series. Because
you don't think he influenced that though?
Dude, I mean, I get that they're a French team, man. That sounds super weird in a North American context.
But even to French people, apparently like Club Foot or was it Club de Foot Montreal? Like doesn't make sense.
It's more French,
not Canadian French than anything.
And the logo's all weird. And I just think Thierry Henry's like, this is who I'm going to coach. I'm just going to go make a TV series. That's what I think.
Possibility. But Matthew Vaughn, who everything he does, I love. And then the guy from Entourage, which put out a hit already. So should be good.
Entourage is one of the greatest shows, man.
Everyone just seems like a D-bag. Like nobody seems likable on that show.
No, man, there's a couple of likable characters. So I would say Turtle and Drama, who are two of the four main characters, they're probably the most likable.
Yeah, and that's something Dylan, right? Not Matt Dylan, but his little brother. That's Johnny Drama,
Kevin,
right?
Kevin Dylan.
Yeah.
And Jerry Ferrara, plays Turtle on that show. That's my favorite character on the show. And Ari Gold just steals that entire
scene. Jeremy Piven. Yeah. All right. Is the whole thing worth watching? Or is like you can watch the first 3 seasons and stop?
No. The whole thing.
Okay.
The whole thing is worth watching.
Okay. Struggling for shows at the moment. We're just on the back of watching Sopranos and then rewatching Breaking Bad. So it's like nothing's quite that good at the moment. It's been like 2 bangers back to back.
This is a whole other episode.
I might start Lupin or Lupin.
That's pretty good.
I've heard good things. So.
Anyway.
I think we need to do that. A season preview or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Upcoming series. Other stuff we're going to watch, yeah.
Ooh, on a football note, I am watching the series called Puerta Siete or Puerta 7 on Netflix. It's basically about the Argentine hooligans that are following this fake club. Like, I mean, it's not a real club, right? But in reality, but it shows how they're Argentine hooligans, but they're also organized criminals. So like they run the drug game throughout the stadium. Like, and I've heard it's actually like that over there in some cases. So yeah, it's a very good series.
Netflix has so many like that. They just kind of pop up when you look at the latest stuff.
It's an Argentine series. It's in Spanish.
That'd be cool to watch. All right. Sorry, Adam, I cut you off.
That's all good.
Back to the actual.
Who was our best performance by an actual footballer? I'm struggling to think of one, so I think we give it to Steven Gerrard.
Give it to Steven Gerrard.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, I picked, added this as an extra genre, is worst training montage. Oh. And I nominated penalty and then also Jimmy's season changing, where he suddenly becomes like this super fit guy in like a few weeks on when Saturday comes.
What about my English soccer adventure when she's trying to coach those kids?
That's a good show, actually. Or when he is, and it's literally, isn't he just getting them to see how far they can kick it, who can be in goal and just hoof it up?
Yeah.
I am his training. Yeah, that's a good shout. The penalty ones I like because they're all sweating, but they're not doing anything to sweat. They're just like jogging. And even when that guy's like, come on, come on, get going, lads. And they're all just like, okay, okay. And then you see them like half-assed. It's just so half-assed. And it's like...
And the thing is too, like my English soccer adventure, these are just kids, the New Haven FC, like a kids team. But penalty, these are supposed to be the best guys at the university.
Yeah.
And they're still all trash.
I think it has to go to penalty.
Penalty.
Yeah, let's give it to penalty.
Okay. Next up, we can do these two together. We have best special effects and worst special effects. So Shaolin Soccer is in there. Gold of the Dead's also in there for some good practical effects for best. And I put worst special effects has got to be Gold 2's dodgy CGI with the ball that kind of flies around and doesn't really look real. Looks cool. And if you watch the making of it, it's cool how they did it, but none of it's real. It's all fake. It was like a track and then he was just running in line with a track and then they just added the ball afterwards and it didn't look convincing. Shaolin Soccer is kind of hard as well because every time the ball turns to CGI, you can tell.
Yeah, it's really
like changed colors almost, right? I think we talked about it. So it goes from like white to gray when it's not a real ball.
I say Gold of the Dead.
I think Gold of the Dead look like it's low budget as well. We have to remember and like Gold convincing Dead, stuff. They use really good use of corn flour to make the effect for everyone spewing up everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately, when this category was announced, I'm like, Gold of the Dead, probably.
Like, good, like, special effects in terms of, like, practical effects and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And then worst, does anybody else have anything else that's not Gold 2's dodgy CGI? It makes a ball curve in ways it should never curve.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Gold 2 and Shaolin Soccer, quite frankly, but I'd still give it to Gold 2 just because you can tell he's not actually on the same pitch as the rest of those players.
Okay, so that's the more jokey awards. Now we're down to the serious stuff. And the first one is Best Footy Flicks. So we talk about them all season as a separate section. So this is, I just wrote a few down here that I'm going to say, but there's obviously tons more because every game has football. I put penalty just for the presentation in that last game. I was all like bigged up there, the presenter. And then that jazzy fuck off trophy that was like better than the World Cup. I just thought the presentation was cool. I put final scene of Goal of the Dead. And despite what I say about footage being used in football film, I still put the prison basement scene in One Night in Istanbul because I just think it captures the emotion really well. Even though they're watching archive footage, there's the whole stupid thing with the lucky pants and getting them on. But it's still like fans watching the most incredible comeback of all time. We can all relate. Everybody, whether you're a Liverpool fan or not, most people in England that were football fans watched that, had their own experience to tell, completely amazed by it. So I still included that. What other ones do you guys have?
Summer of 92 had some really good ones. I know a lot of it was archive footage, but they did that that really cool effect where like it was almost spotlit between the two players. And it was in the penalties.
Yeah, but every time when Schmeichel made saves and they kept cutting and they just... I also put that like their best editing's coming up and I kind of thought for that as well just because of how well they managed to transition between the two. It was like seamless. You'd almost, at a glance, you wouldn't tell because they got... like even down to the way each player was stood in the exact same position.
Yeah.
When it cut to that scene was so good.
Just the blending of it was perfect. All the freckles in the world. I couldn't remember if we enjoyed those scenes, like the playground cement pitch and all that. It's kind of cool.
I think we did.
Enjoy. We talked about how they did a good job of like the claustrophobia because it was really tight.
Yeah.
The angle was really tight. And so it did make it feel like it was played in like a cage kind of. But yeah. When Saturday comes, they're perfectly serviceable. Like they remade, but there's just nothing particularly exciting about them. And they're good. And like it's something we praised the film for and why it's so high on the table. I just don't think they're incredible.
What was Sean Bean's quote about that? Get him on the phone. He said something about like football films sucking in that department. So they tried to do something different.
Yeah.
I mean, best footy flicks, if we're looking at real footage, I mean, I'd give it to One Night in Istanbul, not only because of the Liverpool goals, but that I said it during the episode, but that pass from Kaká to Crespo and that flick, I mean, that that chip over the keeper, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, we talked about that in the episode. Like, how many more how many more times are they going to do that in this game?
Yeah, but just that was just inch perfect passing, just carved open the defense, and just the finishing on that was sublime. Like, I will never forget that goal, even though it was against Liverpool. And, you know, I don't really have a sour taste of it in my mouth.
Yeah, I'd say One Night.
Yeah.
Okay. So, different tact, not an actual acted football scene, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have best editing. You mentioned Summer of 92, The Keeper, and United, all really like genuinely well made movies. Just United, like when you think how all the scenes in the hospital are edited together, the really good scene where David Tennant's character's in that school gym and all this, coffins are there and you feel like it just lingers on him enough before it snap cuts to the pictures of the, it's kind of like best editing / director direction kind of. And Summer of 92 is the thing that we were just talking about, the really cool dramatic transitions to the actors carrying out the moves and like the how it was, everything was blacked out.
For me, it's Summer 92. Like even the pacing of the movie too. I'm not sure if that kind of ties into this award for looping that in, but Summer of 92 in that regard was perfect.
Is that for you? What about you, Adam?
I'd say Summer of 92 probably. Just for the, and I think like talking about pacing, it's got the right amount of humor, right amount of drama.
Yeah.
I think it works for me.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, best actress then. So this is open to whoever you want. Every female that has appeared in the movies. I put Freya Maver as Margaret in The Keeper. I think it's a pretty good performance. You'd also take Kim Vilfort's daughter, Lily, in Summer of 92. Probably that was a pretty good. She did a pretty good job of, she had like childhood, like really rare leukemia. She did a pretty good job of selling that, I guess.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that. I was thinking more of the adult, yeah.
Yeah. What about Hordana?
Oh, in Goal 2?
Yeah.
She's the woman that he cheats on Roz with?
What's her name? She was in Blade 2.
Leonor Varela.
Yeah.
She's pretty good in the sense that she really played up that, you know, those, I don't want to say the social because it's not on the same level, but just like the ET types, the TMZ types, you know, that just you know, they critique everybody what they're wearing and they're like, oh my God, so-and-so was caught at Madrid airport, you know, kissing goodbye to their son or whatever like that. Like,
just,
I thought she played that really well.
And she was actually Gavin's girlfriend, right?
No. Gavin had a crush on her.
Oh, I was pissy that he made the move or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh yeah, that's when it got really confusing because there was a scene where her and Santi kiss, and then a deleted scene was them actually having sex, and
yeah,
changed things completely. And then there was Roz. We haven't even mentioned Roz.
She was a very small part of that movie, though.
Yeah, yeah. It should have a bigger role in the first one, I guess.
Yeah, and if the first one was this season, I would have definitely had Roz there as a shout. I actually do think that the Margaret character from The Keeper is probably my shout for best actress.
I think about a scene when their son gets run over when he's gone to the ice cream and she drops the fire on the screen. Yeah. It's like so powerful. And then when they're on the beach and she's just like dead. And then by comparison, the beach when she's like happy. And then also when they go back to the beach for the third time and she's like, hey, you're not falling apart. Like, you've got to do this for us and everything.
Yeah. Even before that, like she hated him at first.
Yeah. Right?
Just that turn of compassion where she eventually grows to love him. And yeah, it's a great character.
Yeah. No, I think it takes, she takes it for me.
Congrats, Freya Mavo as Margaret Troutman / Friar, I guess she is before she gets married. Okay, best actor. Ulrik Thomson as Richard Muller Nielsen. Mikael Fulsgaard as Kim Vilfort. David Tennant as Jimmy Murphy. And David Cross as Bert Troutman. And of course, any others that you guys can mention.
David Tennant as Jimmy Murphy.
United.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The main character.
I was thinking Jimmy from When Saturday Comes. Jimmy Muir, so close. Okay.
Yo, I'm going to have to, for me personally, I really connected with David Cross on screen. So I do think he was the best actor.
Yeah. There's a certain like humbleness to his performance. Like, super grateful for everything that comes his way. Even though there's obviously an attraction with the door, he plays it off kind of well, like a good, like when he's playing with the kid and stuff.
You wouldn't give it to Sean Bean? I mean, I know the movie wasn't as good as Summer of 92 and
no chance. The Keeper.
No?
No.
That's Ned Stark, man.
doesn't mean it's a good performance.
Was Richard Muller Nielsen part of the nominations? Ulrik Thomson?
Yes, he's there.
Yeah.
That would be my pick. I just thought he was like wonderful in that role. How he wasn't wanted as the coach of the FA, the Danish FA, was it?
Ooh, yes.
And just overcoming that. And then even at the end of it, I think they didn't vote him as coach of the year or manager of the year. Yeah. I think UEFA did.
And he plays like a good, like hapless idiot kind of too. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And eventually wins them over, right? With the trip to McDonald's and the cheeseburgers and the mini putt trip.
Yeah, I can go Ulrik Thomson or David Cross. It's a toss-up for me.
You see, my one was David Tennant. So we've got a three-way tie. Because I just think he was really good, like, convincing, like... I like David Tennant anyway, so there's a somewhat bias there. I just think very, like, powerful, like, grieving, and like, but then realizing he couldn't grieve, like, he had to put a team together. But I'm not fussed. I won't bat for it. We could go the other way. It's two different performances when you look at Ulrik Thomson and David Cross. Ulrik Thomson's like, it's a comedic element to it, like a tragic comedic element to it, and then somehow pulls it together.
It was more enjoyable in that sense. I don't know, it's just the scale of United versus Summer of 92 as well. One was clearly like a TV movie, right? Mm.
No, I'm going to say Ulrik Thomson if I had to back one of them.
I can go with Ulrik Thomson.
Okay. Next up, we have Best Foreign Film. So we have Summer of 92, Goal of the Dead, Penalty, and Captain Tsubasa. As Summer of 92 is top of the table, kind of feel like it's going to get it.
What's a foreign film? Like, we're all Canadian, right? So
that's what I'm saying.
I guess foreign language.
Non-English.
Okay. We're using, like, Oscars terminology here.
So it's got to be Summer of 92.
Yeah,
Summer of 92. I mean, it's no question.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have in here Best Adapted Screenplay as well. But from what I can tell, none of these are adaptations of other stories.
Not even Summer of
92. United, isn't it?
It's not based on a novel or anything, though, is it? It's based on a true story. Right.
Nothing's based on it.
It's the only one you could keep a kind of pulled from his autobiography, but it's not based on. It's just based on his life story.
It's reality, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think any of them are actually adapted from books or anything. Or
One Night in Istanbul is adapted from a play.
Oh, actually, good call. Okay, there you go then. might win by default. Yeah, you're right. It is adapted from a play, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good recall. I completely forgot about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we talked about that. How their scenes were...
And Istanbul is actually kind of rocking it on the nominations and the awards here.
That's sexy, I told you guys it was a great movie.
Okay. All right. And then next up, we have Best Original Screenplay. And every film is eligible for this, I guess, except for One Night in Istanbul.
Yes.
One thing, though, is I guess this is that happens with the Oscars, right? There's Best Picture, which is obviously somewhere in 92 for this season. Best Original Screenplay is sometimes the best like written movie, but not necessarily the best performed movie, which is kind of hard because we haven't sat and analyzed any scripts. But it could be... We could take that tact, or we could just give it to Summer of 92 as it was the best film on the list.
This is best original screenplay?
Let's dissect this a little bit.
Best original screenplay? So I think you got to think of it in terms of dialogue as well, right?
Yeah, which maybe means like something like The Keeper wins, or United, or anything else that had rousing speeches, or funny dialogue.
Here it comes.
You know what? I think the best original screenplay is probably The Keeper. I think that had some fantastic performances with all of the main characters. So Margaret, with Troutman. It's the period piece itself, I thought, was very well done. Just showing Manchester back in the... What era would it have been? What years were they, like 60s?
40s,
50s? Yeah. 40s, 50s?
Yeah,
and I think them showing Manchester during that time. That movie showed heart, it showed passion, it showed affection, but it also showed loss and tragedy.
Yeah, and it also had that whole aspect with the little kid when he was in the army.
Yep.
How they never really showed what happened with the kid and... Yes, the kid was actually shot, right? And they reveal that later on in the movie, kind of
versions of events.
Yeah. It was able to show a story where somebody that you're supposed to hate can turn into somebody that you adore and love. So I think it was very well written from that perspective.
Timely message as well. Yeah.
Okay. The Keeper then. And that's it. That was the second ever Keepy Uppies, guys. We're all done. I'm going to run down real quick, and congratulations to all the winners and everyone else who's nominated. It's an honor to be nominated, as they say. So worst special effects, Goal 2. Best special effects, Goal of the Dead. Worst training montage, Penalty. Best performance by an actual footballer, Steven Gerrard. Should Never Have Been Made, My English Soccer Adventure. The biggest propaganda film, Goal 2. Worst dad, Joe Muir. Best dad, Jack Fryer. Best soundtrack, One Night in Istanbul. Worst accent, Gavin in Goal 2. Most believable to actually be a football, David Cross in The Keeper. The character you want to be besides during an apocalypse, Sam Laurie from Goal of the Dead. Weirdest soccer movies, Shaolin Soccer. Best cameo, Iker Casillas in the hot tub scene in Goal 2. Funniest character, Idris in Goal of the Dead. Best football flicks is The Prison Basement in One Night in Istanbul, and obviously the Champions League final of that year. Best editing, Summer of 92. Best actress, Freya Mavor as Margaret in The Keeper. Best actor, Ulrik Thompson as Richard Muller Nielsen in Summer of 92. Best foreign language film, Summer of 92. Best adapted screenplay, One Night in Istanbul. And best original screenplay was The Keeper.
And of course, the best film that we've rated this year would be Summer of 92. That's number one spot on our rankings table. And so also congratulations to Summer of 92 for being the best film as picked by us, the experts.
For sure. They're the experts. We're the experts.
So I think the director of that follows us on Twitter, so we'll give him a shout out.
Casper, there you Mark. Go.
Oh, yeah. Liked a few posts. So yeah. So, and then you just talked about how Summer of 92 is the best film of next season, of this current season. Our next episode is actually going to be where we try the fool's errand of merging these two tables to have our all-time leaderboard. I think it's going to be fun. We're going to disagree along the way. There's some films that are definitely ranked high in one table and might not be high in the other table. So if you... Thanks very much for watching/listening if you're on the podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Matchday Matinee. Raghav, where can people find you on social media?
So you can find me at Raghav Sandhu on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me and make sure you follow Matchday Matinee as well.
And Mark, if people want to see you.
Mark A3 on Twitter and on Instagram at A3Football.
And Joypad Goalposts on Twitter and Instagram. So until next time, from the Theatre of Dreams to the Terrace or whatever that thing was, we have been Matchday Matinee.
That's it. That's all that's needed.
See you guys.
See you guys.
See ya.